First John chapter 2, First John chapter 2. I'm going to start there, and then we're going to end up over in Romans chapter 1 eventually. But I want to continue to teach on the spirit of Antichrist. Preacher, what is the Bible talking about when it talks about the spirit of Antichrist? Preacher, what in the world is happening to our world? And how can we, as Bible Christians, Bible-studying Christians, Bible-reading Christians, Bible-believing Christians, how can we discern and see things that maybe most people can't understand right now? Well, we have to understand this. Folks, I think it says it on the sign out there still, as, along with Dan Goodwin being advertised. I was so busy shopping and cooking and watching the kids. I go in the front yard and look over at your house and I watch the kids. And then I go back in the house when I get tired. So, but I don't have time to change the sign. We barely had a bulletin this morning. So, but chapter 2, verse number 18, Bible says, little children, it is the last time. Things are not falling apart, they're falling in place. Another guy said it this way. He saw our sign. He said, I heard it said this way. Things are not falling apart, they're coming together. I like that also. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. Say, preacher, so what is that talking about? Well, there is the Antichrist. Brother Goodwin was good about explaining the unholy trinity that the devil's going to put together, and the Antichrist will come. But in order to prepare the way, can I say this? These are almost like the John the Baptists of the Antichrist. The world, I'll just say it, the world 50 years ago would not have accepted the Antichrist, at least not America. But I'm telling you, I can't say they wouldn't today. And so what's happened? Well, there had to be a fundamental change. Americans had to be prepared. There had to be a change of mind and a change of outlook, and preparations had to be made. So there are many Antichrists. Well, I wouldn't want to be called an Antichrist. I wouldn't want to be part of that group. We're going to explain what that is. I'm going to get into the meat of some things. I've kind of done some introduction. I'm going to whiz through quick review and jump in. But it says there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So one of the ways we'll know that it's the last time is it's not just going to be an occasional voice that rises up against Christ, rises up against the Word of God, rises up against the church. This is Christ's church. So rise, it's all of a sudden you're going to begin to hear these voices, and they're going to all of a sudden begin to become multiple voices, and then they're going to become louder in their proclamation. Putting together, I haven't got it ready, we're not going to cover it today, but I'm just going back in the last two or three years and researching and pulling out quotes from prominent Americans, celebrities, and politicians that are so anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-Jesus that when you read them, it makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And I mean, if people would have said these things out loud 20 years ago, they would have been shouted down, they would have been condemned, and nobody's saying a word. Nobody's saying a word. Now we go to chapter 2, verse 22, same book, 1 John. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So not only they're denying that Jesus was divine, that he was the Christ, the Messiah. By the way, that's most Jews. Let me just say it. That's most Jews right now. You don't believe me? Go over to Israel. You go online and watch these interviews. There was people, Christians that have gone over there, and they've posted these things on YouTube. And they just have randomly just walked down the street and just said, you know, I'm not here to cause an argument or a confrontation. I just want to ask you a question. Who do you believe Jesus Christ was? And just let them talk. You know, didn't one there to try to convert them, one there to try to argue with them, just said, and I mean, Jewish person after Jewish person after Jewish person after Jewish person denying verbally that Jesus was the Christ, spirit of Antichrist. Think about that. The spirit of Antichrist is strong amongst God's chosen people. That's sad. It's going to take something unusual to change that in their lives. And God's going to send something unusual. when he turns back to the Jews during the tribulation period. And so be careful of those voices denying the existence of the Father, denying the existence of the Son. We'll talk about that. Chapter 4, verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3, same book. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So even back in John's day, it was already starting. Gnosticism, folks. Be careful. The internet's got all kinds of wanky stuff. And you start hearing people talk about the lost books of the Bible and the lost gospels. Folks, you better do your homework here. Gnosticism started in conjunction with the start of the New Testament church. In other words, what I'm saying is, as the truth was being written, there was lies also being written. And they say, well, these are ancient manuscripts. Well, the devil started right in with the apostles. And he had ministers. Paul said he has his ministers. He shows up as an angel of light. He also has his ministers. And so while the truth is being preached, lies were being preached. As the Bible was being completed, lies were being written. And you know what? God is the one that said he would preserve his word to all generations. So God is the one that made final decision about what should be in the Bible, what shouldn't be in the Bible. But it's amazing the fascination with all of these lost books of the Bible and lost gospels and all these things. And so be careful because, you know, that's the same thing was going on back there. And then finally, 2 John verse number 7, 2 John verse number 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world. Many deceivers are entered into the world. I'm going to call some of their names next week. I'm going to give you some of their quotes next week. Who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, this is what the mindset we better get. Preacher, we're if we go this way, we're being mean. No, we're being truthful. We better start calling an apple, an orange, a pear. Okay, if the Bible says, somebody speaks up and says, Jesus Christ was not God, that is an antichrist. Doesn't mean he is the antichrist or she is the antichrist, but that is an antichrist. And there's many, many, you're going to see it, there's many antichrists. Folks, they have taken over, listen, they've taken over our entertainment industry. They've taken over the music industry. The words that our kids are listening to on their headphones are antichrist lyrics and antichrist philosophies. They've taken over the public school. They've taken over higher education. Where haven't they taken over? They are slowly taking over our political scene and political powers. And folks, it's not, well, all the Democrats and all the Republicans, you better take a hard look at the majority of the Republicans. They're saying some of the worst things. They're just a little more sneaky about it because they want to get reelected. But it's not, and nobody's speaking up against it, hardly ever. Just in the handful that are, buddy, I'm telling you what, they are being attacked like you've never seen anything in your life. And so this is what we're facing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us as we study the Bible. Lord, help us to see the groundwork, what has to happen, the shifting of Lord, our civilization, what has to become accepted, commonly accepted before Antichrist is able to step in and be embraced. So Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During the tribulation period, there'll be a one world leader known as the Antichrist. To prepare the way for the world to accept this leader, there will be an increase of antichrists. An increase in antichrists is a sure sign of the last days or last times of the last days. This is a summarization of what we just read in these verses. These antichrists will create a spirit of antichrist among the general population of the world. The spirit of antichrist will be created through deception. Then we are answering this question, what is the spirit of antichrist and how can we recognize. I went to John chapter 1. I'm going to summarize that. If you want to understand Antichrist, you better understand Jesus Christ and who he is. Anything Christ is that is anti that is the spirit of Antichrist. We read that Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. Folks, when someone gets up and says something anti-Bible, they are propagating the spirit of Antichrist. That means that, listen, let me tell you another place that I haven't mentioned. But you know what? There's a lot of antichrist that have taken over churches. There's entire church movements that are being run by antichrists. We better wake up. Not everything that says church on the outside is really a church. Not everybody that has the title of reverend or pastor or whatever is, it came from God. And so be careful. So anything that's anti-Bible is anti-Christ. Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One of the things that's very specific in the epistles of John is if somebody denies that Jesus Christ is God come into the flesh, you mark that person as antichrist. You know what? The Mormonism is an antichrist teaching. Okay, Jehovah Witness is an antichrist teaching. So be very careful about those things, okay? Well, they're just brothers in Christ. They're just a little misguided. No, they're not. They're teaching antichrist philosophies. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, watch this, folks. If he's the light of the world, then anyone that is defending darkness or trying to increase darkness or insisting that we call darkness light, then you know what? That's the spirit of antichrist. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. We learn that in John chapter 1. And so anybody that stands up against the idea of Christ being the Savior, being the Son of God, and God the Son, they're propagating an antichrist philosophy. Now, you know what? This matter of denying the Father, this matter of denying Jesus Christ, we've seen that that comes from the spirit of antichrist. And this increase in atheism, this increase in a disbelief of God, a lot of Republicans are not saying that they're atheists. They're just saying that they're non-religious. That's the new term that you're, when they're questioned now, and they say, well, you know, are you a Christian? Are you not a Christian? Do you believe in God? Do you not believe in God? Now the term everybody's using, starting to use, both Republicans and Democrats, is, well, I'm just non-religious. See, some of them don't want to say, I don't believe in God. They just want to say, I'm non-religious. And so you're hearing that more and more. Now let's go to Romans chapter 1. Preacher, how did we get to this point, and how will we continue to get to the point where the Antichrist will be willing, be able to step right in and be accepted and be embraced and recognized as the world leader? Well, something had to happen in America, and I think America was the devil's biggest thorn in his flesh. I think that our country's always been the one that's allowed God to extend his grace. But I'm telling you, we're joining right in. Me and my wife, I guess 15 years ago or so, we flew to Australia, and I walked around Australia, and I talked to the Australian pastors, and I talked to the Australian people. And you know what I found out? I found out that they are, one of the men said this, we were where America was 25 years ago. Where we are now, you will be. That's where you're heading. We see the similarities. And they are, for the most part, atheistic, agnostic. They just kind of have bought in hook, line, and sinker the idea that God is just, it's a superstition. It's a harmless one for the most part. If people need that to get through life, God bless them. But, you know, whatever, you know. Their term is no worries. They just, you know, they're not going to argue with you. And hey, if that's good for you, no worries, that's good. But so we're fast tracking that direction. In Romans chapter 1, we see, and I've had you write this down before, and you may have it in the Bible in front of you. Not, if you like to, don't mind taking notes in your Bible. You can kind of chronicle here the destruction of civilization, of any civilization, or the preparation for the world for the Antichrist starts with the idea of atheism, presenting people the idea of some alternative belief system other than God created in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we read in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Beside verse 21, I wrote the word atheism. I'm going to go ahead and have you write these in, and we'll look at them. Beside verse number 23, I wrote the word evolution. Well, if you're going to be atheistic or agnostic, then you have to have an alternative explanation of where all this came from. So verse 23, I wrote the word evolution beside that. And then if you go up to verse number 24, You can write the word immorality. There's something happens. Something happens when all of a sudden you decide and push out the idea of God. Something begins to happen when you teach people that they are animals. Then we go to immorality. Verse 25, you can write the word humanism beside that. Humanism, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. And then you're going to have homosexuality as a result of that step. Verse 26 and 27. So beside verse 26 and 27, I wrote homosexuality. Beside 25, humanism. Then you get down to verse 28 and all the way down to verse number 31. And I wrote these two words, reprobate lifestyle. All of a sudden, this is going to become the norm. In any civilization that begins to follow this pattern, this is always the downward progression. This is where it's headed to. And so I wrote reprobate lifestyle, verse 28, 31. These sins become prevalent, accepted, defended, celebrated even. And then verse 32, there's nothing left after that but judgment. You write the word judgment right beside verse number 32. Now, folks, as we're teaching this, I want you to think about this, because if we're going to create what the Bible calls a spirit of Antichrist, then what we have to do is we have to brainwash society into believing certain things. The devil is a deceiver and he's a liar. Okay, so he's going to propagate some lies. If he can get the majority of the human race to believe these lies, there's a purpose for it, because he's preparing the way. Now, as I go down through and teach these things, I want you to begin to ask yourself a question. As I'm teaching these things, where are the voices? What voices are left that is standing up and declaring the things that I'm going to cover in the next few minutes? Where are the voices left that are standing up and declaring that these things are wrong and are calling them out and exposing them as lies? Is it happening in our public education? Folks, it's got to the point now where if somebody works for a corporation or a company, and you on your private, I'm talking about when you're at home, not when you're on the job, and on your private social media, you simply share your personal opinion and belief, and it's contrary to what the culture says is acceptable, there's people being terminated from their jobs. And why does those stories always hit the top of the news feed? Because they're wanting to foster fear amongst Christians. You know, you can believe what you want to believe, but you better be quiet about it. I mean, that's where they're getting us next. Now, we're going to get to a point where you can't even believe it, or we're going to come get you. But all right, but you can believe it, but you better keep it within the walls of your church. And, you know, I've had people say, and preachers say, but I want you to understand what I'm going to say next is a two-edged sword. I've had preachers say, well, you know what? One of the good things that came from this whole COVID thing is a lot of churches that weren't online and didn't have their sermons online and all of this stuff, all of a sudden we were kind of had to do that, forced into doing that. And you know what? I'm not against it. We're still doing it. But I'm just wondering. Okay, the spirit of Antichrist. You know, I'm shocked we're still on YouTube. I mean, I really am shocked at things that we have. But you know what? Why are we? Okay, because one of these days when we get the mindset turned to where it needs to be turned, then all of a sudden they go back and they say, well, you know, well, we have evidence that you are a hate monger, that you have committed hate crimes, simply for preaching the word of God. Okay, so we're getting, you know, all of this is setting things up for the last days. Now let's go through and kind of teach these. Atheism is interesting because when you read, you say, preacher, verse 21 isn't saying that people are atheistic. Yes, it is. And now listen to me, because there's a process that people go through to get to the place where they say, I don't believe there is a God. But it's not going from I believe in God to I don't believe in God. This is the step. so important, verse 21, because that when they knew God, okay, how can you know God? How could they know God? I mean, how do I know who God is? How do I know his character traits? How do I know about God? Where's the place you go to learn about God? You go to the Bible to learn about God. And whatever the Bible says about God is true about God. And that's who he truly is. And so when they knew God, okay, so they went to the Bible, maybe they were raised in church. And they grew up understanding that this is the God of the Bible. But you know what? At some point, they didn't want the God of the Bible to be that person. Matter of fact, it bothered them. Okay, the Bible says something that God is a holy God. If you want to live an unholy life, that begins to bother you. You know, God has some definite boundaries that he set in life. And most of it, folks, falls in the arena of morality that seems to rub people wrong. So what they want to do is they say, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So in other words, okay, I know the Bible says that there's a God, but I don't know if I believe that he really is what the Bible says he is. This happened, good night, 20 years ago when Oprah Winfrey was, I just watched clips of this, but you can go on and you can find the clips and you can watch it yourself. But you know what? She literally talks about how she was raised in church. And she said, I remember sitting in church listening. Now she's saying this on her program. I remember listening to them teach the Bible and the preacher say that we were to fear God and God was a holy God that should be feared. But she said, you know what? I just thought to myself, I just don't think that's who God is. I don't think God wants us to live in terror and fear of him. Well, excuse me, but you don't get to change God. But it's almost like the whole world, if there's any part of what the Bible says about God they don't like, what they're going to do is not glorify him as the God of the Bible, but they're just going to begin to start. Listen, and God created us in his image. Now an entire culture is wanting to recreate God in their image. Well, I just don't think God thinks that particular sin is that big of a deal. Well, did he condemn it in the Bible? Watch this. Did he call it an abomination? Then it's a big deal. And you're not going to change it, and I'm not going to change it. And you can try to recreate God, but they start out by being introduced to the God of the Bible instead of glorifying him as that God and bringing glory to him by following the Bible. They don't want that God, so we're not going to glorify him as God. I'm going to kind of recreate God in my image, and a lot of the churches in America have recreated a God that is not a God of the Bible. Right. You know, I call out, don't preach a lot on it, but every once in a while I want to say it. I call out those preachers preaching Calvinism, Reformed theology. They've created a God that is not the God of the Bible. They better be careful what they're doing and what they're saying about God. Okay, you got to be careful. I mean, this whole idea of, you know, churches being created where God is one-dimensional. You know, we're going to talk about just a few of the character traits of God, and that's the God we're going to present to you. And he's kind and he's loving. And by the way, God is kind and God is loving. And he's compassionate and he understands and he's forgiving. Yes, he's all those things. He's also holy. Okay, he's also, where's the preaching on holiness? Okay, he's also pure. The Bible also says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It also says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Come on, go find me one sermon Joel Osteen's ever preached on that verse. You know, he said in an interview, well, in my church, sin is just not on the menu. He said that in an interview. Sin is not on the menu. So you know what? You know what he's doing? He's got the ears of all of these people. Come on. that want to have God accepting of the way they're living. So they're going to go follow a man who presents God as accepting of what they're doing. And people's lives are not being changed, and folks are not coming to repentance, and true salvation is happening. They're not even invited to be saved, to be born again. They're just, if you'll come, we'll show you and teach you how you can enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. What does that mean? Okay, that's something that you can do once you're born again. Until you're born again, you're not entering into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You've almost got this, okay, here's where you are. And if you're willing to come this way just a little bit, God's willing to come all this way. And you know what? You and God can be real happy right here. Well, that may sound good from their pulpits and people are flocking to hear it. You know why? Because they like their sin. They like darkness. They don't want the light. They don't want the truth. And so more and more, that's what you're doing. Atheism, see, eventually somebody this is what's going to happen. I'll tell you, every time it happens, they don't want to accept the God of the Bible. So they create a God that's acceptable to them. And eventually the end of that road is they begin to dismiss the idea of God at all in their lives. And you'll see the progression begin to happen. As I said, I won't spend a lot of time on verse 23, but if you're going to deny God and become vain in your imaginations. By the way, the Bible says their foolish heart was darkened. Well, you ought to study that little phrase. You read that, study that little phrase right there in the original language, and it's talking about literally opening a door to darkness into your life. And I believe you can open doors of satanic influence in your life. When you become vain in your imaginations, I don't like the way God is presented in the Bible, so I'm going to imagine a different God. Well, there is an alternative God. And he can't wait to come into your life. He's a little G God. He wanted to be worshipped. That's why he's no longer employed by the Lord. So be careful. Professing themselves wise, they become fools. All of a sudden they turn to intellectualism. I'm going to come up with a different idea. I'm going to, listen, the knowledge of God has always battled against the knowledge of man. And you know what? The knowledge of man needs to bow down to the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God likes to exalt itself above the knowledge of man. The knowledge of man likes to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. You know, folks, come on. Whatever the Bible says, let's just bow to it. God's right, I'm wrong. If we disagree, it's not that he's kind of wrong and I'm kind of wrong and he's kind of right and I'm kind of right. No. God's right. If I think something different, I got to let the Bible change my mind about it. Okay? And so evolution is their explanation. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And so we begin to introduce another idea, another theory about how we got here. And, theistic evolution, let's just kind of meet in the middle here. Don't go down that road. Well, those 7 days in the 6 days of creation, we don't know for sure. Those could have been ages and periods of time. And it's like, all right, I want to satisfy my human intellect, but also not be a pagan. And so I'm going to find a way to marry the two. No, the evening and the morning was the first day, okay? And so we believe in a six-day creation where God spoke things into existence. and so evolution, okay? Then you get into, again, that leads, folks, watch this. All of a sudden, either God doesn't exist or I can change God to be a supernatural being that is okay with the things I need him to be okay for in my life. All of a sudden, strong boundaries that have governed our behavior begin to crumble. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden, people begin to wander outside of those boundaries, and it is morality that usually takes the first hit. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. What's the real problem? Come on, here's the real problem with people. They'll shoot at the preacher. They'll shoot at the church they grew up in. They'll shoot at godly moms and dads. Anytime you read or see that stuff or hear that stuff, let me tell you something. Their problem is not with me, and they're not with Blessed Hope, and it's not with their godly parents. Their problem is with God.
That's right.
Because what? You know what? They wanted in the lust of their heart to be able to do things that the Bible said. I mean, here's what they might as well say. How dare God write a book and tell me there's things I can do and cannot do? I mean, I wish they'd be honest enough to just say that. Because their problem's not, you know, they want to talk about the authorities that taught them the Bible. Okay, godly parents, preacher, Sunday school teacher. They want to shoot them, character assassination, all this other stuff. The real problem is that's not their problem. I've flat said that to backslidden young people who wanted to attack me or attack her. I said, listen, look right here. You can blow all the smoke you want to, and if that helps you sleep at night because you're living the way you are, but your problem is not with me or your mom or dad or your Sunday school teacher or Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Your problem's with this book right here. Why don't you just have enough guts to say it out loud? If you're going to live in, you know, if you're going to be a pagan, then admit that you're a pagan. Don't drag God in with it. And so, you know, then all of a sudden we are introduced to a society where immorality. Now, come on. I see gray-headed saints all across here. Those of you that, I mean, folks, come on. I'm in my mom and dad's generation, for a young lady to become pregnant out of wedlock, oh my goodness sakes. I mean, the entire community was. Right. Now, if somebody actually waits until they get married and then has a child afterwards, everybody's like, what's happened? What's happened? What are we talking about? The spirit of what? Antichrist. So, you know what? If you're going to prepare the world to receive the Antichrist, then the first thing you got to do is destroy the boundaries of the Word of God. If it's anti-Bible, it's Antichrist. Somebody comes and they want to defend something that they're involved in, one of their family members involved in. You know, it's not like I go after them. They just react to the preaching. You know, it's not like I sent them a mean letter or posted something on social media. It's just that it bothers them that somebody just is preaching the truth. And so they want to come and defend it. Wait. You don't have a problem with me. Right. You know, that's why, you know, your preacher, you'll hear me say once in a while, listen, if you don't like that part, just cut it out. Okay, just come and rip that page out. Apparently that page offends you. God shouldn't have put it in there, so rip it out. Be honest enough to admit your problems with this book. How dare God? How dare God? And then the next step, I'm going to hurry up. Then you got humanism, who changed the truth of God into a lie. So now we've got to take the truth of God, which is contained in the Bible, and make it a lie. Okay, if evolution's true, then Genesis is a lie. First two chapters of Genesis is a lie if evolution's true. Okay? Can't have it both ways. And if they can start pointing out parts of the Bible that they say are inaccurate and lies, then why not just condemn the whole thing? They can attack anything after that. That's why we don't meet them anywhere. If they attack the Bible, we earnestly contend for the faith. We stand up against it. And we denounce their attack as a lie from the devil. And you know what? Can't the two sides just get along? We're not going to get along. Okay. That's not, you know, everybody just needs to understand. You know, exercise more tolerance. I'm not tolerant of people that attack God. Amen. I'm not going to be tolerant of their attacks. I'm going to defend the Bible. I'm going to defend the faith. You know, and so there's no meeting. There's no, you know, peace treaty that can be signed. This war's been going on since Genesis chapter 3. Devil shows up and says, hath God said, thou shalt not surely die? And he's saying God's a liar, and God's saying he's a liar, and that's the way it's been going ever since. Somebody's lying, somebody's telling the truth. Pick a side. Humanism, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. So all of a sudden, instead of us being created to bring glory to God and to spend our life serving God, the greatest calling in his life is to serve mankind, and because mankind, in their minds at this point, is the gods, little g gods, we are the highest form. So whatever's done for the benefit, in their mind, the benefit of mankind is the greatest act of service. Then all of a sudden, 26 and 27. What do we do? For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. Somebody once said, well, you know what? Nowhere in the New Testament does the Bible condemn homosexuality. Yes, it does. Right. It's just another lie that they put out there. That's Old Testament stuff. Well, vile affection seems to be pretty clear. Well, what are they talking about? For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of the error that was meet. You got homosexuality. Once you take that step, look at verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Okay, now all of a sudden, whether they say they're an atheist or not, they've went from the God of the Bible to the God I decided that's good enough for me to I don't even want to think about God at all. I'm not considering his opinion in anything. I'm doing what I want to do. I don't care where the Bible draws the lines. When a society gets that, they become reprobate in their behavior and reprobate in their minds. All of a sudden, being filled, verse 29. Go back to the book of Genesis. We won't go there now, but I mean, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I mean, read Genesis chapter 6. The thoughts of their heart were evil continually before the Lord. They're filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So not only are they doing all of this, the preacher is their hope. All right, I'm take maybe 3 minutes to tell you a quick story because there's hope. Listen to what I'm going to say. I don't know if we'll ever turn this thing back in our country as far as when I talk about hope. I think the reason we may not ever see, and I'd like to see one more great revival, but I think, folks, we're in the place where we're picking up the gleanings right now before the rapture happens. I'll give you a word of encouragement because you say, preacher, this stuff is, remember the question I asked you? Where is anyone standing up and calling this stuff where it is? Tell me anywhere. Where is the place that's left? A handful of Bible-preaching churches. And let me say this. Last-day preachers, prophets, you can call them whatever you want to, that's still willing to get up like Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the rest of them when Israel was on life support and still calling out their sin and calling them to repentance. This is the only places left. By the way, that means, I'll show you next week, that means that's why the devil has to come after this place. He's eliminated everything else. This is the last stronghold for God. I don't mean just this church, but churches like this to preach the Bible. So what do you do? Okay, well, Thursday afternoon, I drove from here to Massillon, Ohio. There's a small Bible college. They're having their college days. I preached Thursday night. I preached Friday morning in chapel to the prospective students and the students in the college. They asked me to stay for the evening because they were going to have a youth activity, and they were bringing on all these other churches, and they called it Insomnia. They were going to go to some trampoline park till 2 o'clock in the morning. I did not go to the trampoline park till 2 o'clock in the morning. I get up on Tuesday night. All right, you can see that there's several churches. We've got about, I don't know, maybe 200 teenagers there. And the man told me, I'm encouraging them to bring lost kids. And you know what? You can tell the lost kids that are scattered in amongst them. I'm going to guess probably 15 to 20. That might, doesn't mean they're all lost, but 15 to 20 kids, probably 10% of them that, you know, had the world all over them. And look right up here, because you're going to think that I'm being mean, and I'm not being mean. I'm telling you the reality. This group right now that are now teenagers, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, they have been introduced to everything that I just went through since they have gone to kindergarten. This whole transgender thing is being shoved on them. Homosexuality, you know, it is being taught. Folks, listen, homosexuals cannot reproduce, so they have to recruit, and they've taken over the public school system to begin the recruiting process from kindergarten on up. That is not an overstatement. You think that they're teaching anti-bullying curriculum because that's what they tell you. You better read the curriculum. Yeah. Well, how could you be for bullying? I'm not for bullying. But they're using that then to teach them to not only accept and embrace somebody else's decisions, but applaud them for it. And by the way, while you're at it, you might want to consider whether or not maybe you're that also. So, you know, I'm watching this. There's on the back row, two rows over here, there's maybe eight kids you can tell come from kind of a rough worldly background. This one girl, she's got her hair shaved all the way down like this, around like this, all the way down to where the hair's just about bird. And then she's got long hair and a ponytail. And in all of her dress and appearance, she looks like a lesbian. Okay, that's why our young people need to be careful about following the styles of the world. Most of the style, now did I say she was a lesbian? I didn't say that. I say that, you know what, anybody that has some knowledge and know-how looks at somebody like that and begins to go, oh my goodness. Say, preacher, you know, and I watch her during the games, and that seems like a nice kid, nice personality, outgoing, wants to participate in the games, doesn't sit back there like a rebel. And I preached my message on hide and seek. And the first point is people, first of all, we spend our lives hiding from the salvation of the Lord. By the way, folks, you never sought God. God sought him, sought you. The Son of Man has come to seek and to say, hey, God was willing to be it. So I'm preaching this. And this girl's lasered in. I'm catching her eye every once in a while. I'm checking out that crowd back there. Long story short, you know, we go through a plan of salvation. We preach against sin. I told the young people during the invitation, you don't get to come and say, God, you need to accept my sin and I'll accept you. And we need to say that more when we're given invitations in this day and age. People just want a little Jesus sprinkled on top of what they are, not change and say, now I'm a Christian. And I said, if the Bible says what you're involved in is sinful, then it's sinful. And if you're going to turn to Christ, you have to believe that and know that and turn from that to receive Christ. And you know what? I had them stand, and before I'm still talking, and this girl that I'm describing comes out of her pew, comes right down here and kneels at an altar. Now, they wanted me to have this kind of different, but they had the altar workers at the back of the auditorium and wanted me to send unsaved kids back there so they could take them out, so they could continue the program, have plenty of time to work with them, which was great. And so now I give the invitation, and I say, if you're here and you don't know 100% sure that you know, that you're saved, that you're born again, preacher, I am under Holy Spirit conviction. I know I'm a sinner. I feel the drawing of the Father. I don't want to go to bed tonight, this lost condition. I need Jesus. Would you raise your hand? Now, she's kneeling here. All the other kids are, she's kneeling here, her hand. I said, I want to, and six young people raised their hand. All six of you that raised your hand, there's workers at the back. She stood up, looked up, smiled at me. You know who she is? Watch this. She's a little 13, 14-year-old girl. With all of the pressure of all the craziness and all of the mixed signals and probably an insane home situation. And she goes back there and she gets with the lady worker and she comes out later and she tracks me down and she's got the glow of God on her face. By the way, she pulled that ponytail out and her hair fell down like this on both sides and covered all of that. You know what? Why would she do that before she came and seen me? Why did it not bother her before? You know what? Her name is Sophia. Would you pray for her? Sophia. And she walks away and God says, that's the only way we can win. We got to take the gospel to them. Say, what's the hope of these kids that are being raised in this anti-Christ environment? And it is. Antichrist homes, Antichrist schools, spirit of Antichrist amongst their friends, Antichrist websites, Antichrist social media. How the light of the glorious gospel can still shine through. Amen. Convict a soul, bring them down to an altar, have them raise their hand, go back, receive Jesus, and walk up to me looking like a new kid in Jesus Christ. Woo! That's why we run buses. That's why we do what we do. Well, we went over, and I wanted to share that with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless our next service. Lord, help us, dear God. I don't know. I'd love to see revival. I know you can do anything. I don't think if we don't see revival, it's not because you didn't want to sin. I don't know if we're willing to pay the price for it. But Lord, help us to find those young people that can still be reached. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. As we do it, in Jesus' name, amen.